Hey, good morning, everyone. We are testing our new sound system at the church. We'll start our worship service in a minute. We'll see if this is working for you and for everyone else. We'll begin with our announcements in about a minute. We thank you all for being patient these last several weeks as we have been installing a new sound system in our sanctuary. I will ask that if there are issues with the sound system, you go ahead and put a comment there on Facebook and we'll know. I can't promise that we will make any adjustments because we're still learning the system, but we'll at least know what isn't working. It is January 24th, and I welcome you to the First Presbyterian Church of Westerville, Ohio. We are a congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA and a member of the Presbytery of Scioto Valley. We are located at 41 West College Avenue in Uptown Westerville. I'm the Reverend Mark Gowan, pastor here at First Presbyterian, and I will be leading worship today. We have Lynn Meyer playing the organ for us this morning, and Heather Hicks will be our liturgist and will lead the Especially for Children as part of our worship service this morning. If you are visiting with us, we invite you to post a note on our Facebook page that we know you are here. And if you'd like to learn more about our church, you can contact us through our Facebook page or by calling the church office at 614-882-3155. We are glad that you are worshiping with us. And if you are watching this service live this morning, you are invited to join your fellow worshipers at a Zoom coffee hour immediately following the service. A link to the coffee hour has been posted on our Facebook page. We have several announcements to share with you this morning. First of all, the flowers this morning are presented in memory of those who have died from the COVID-19 disease, and we hold them and their families in our hearts. As I said earlier, our new sound system is now installed. We are on a learning curve for it. Like anything else new, we have to figure out how to adjust it and make it work as best we possibly can. And if you have comments about the sound this week, please put them there on our Facebook page. And I don't know that we can make any adjustments here this morning, but we certainly will use that information to make adjustments this week to make everything work even better next week. We have begun the process of taking down the annex building and the garage. The first step in that process was Habitat for Humanity was here this past week to remove salvageable items from both the buildings. The actual demolition will begin the week of February 1st, and the whole demolition process and the cleanup afterwards will take about 2 weeks. And then later in the spring, a new parking lot will be installed there. If you do stop by the church once the demolition starts, we ask that you be careful and stay away from all that construction going on. The fourth Monday Faith Discussion Group will be meeting tomorrow, Monday, January 25th at 7:30 p.m. via Zoom. This group meets monthly to consider issues of faith in our modern life. If you would like to join in, please call the church office tomorrow. And now, let us begin our worship with the music of the prelude.
Thank you. Please join with me in the call to worship. To be in worship and to place our lives in God's hands, this is a great blessing. To lay down our burdens for just a few moments at our Savior's feet, this is a sweet refreshment. To free our spirits and to let them soar as God intends them to, this is deep joy. We are in this moment ready to do these things and to worship the God who makes them possible. Let us worship God. Will you pray with me? O God, in the dark winter days when we often get discouraged, we turn to you. Teach us to abide in Christ, that we may know the joy you intend for your people. After the drudgery of our week, we are here to find hope. Bless us with your Spirit that we might find our strength returning. In the loneliness of our days, we seek new connections. Form us together as a community so that together we may worship and serve you here and now. Amen. I'm going to invite the children to come and be a part of our worship now. Because today we're going to talk about another Dr. Seuss book, Yertle the Turtle. And Pastor Mark is going to elaborate on this more in his sermon today. But I wanted to ask you children, and those of you who are still young at heart, what are some things that you have desired so much that you begged and pleaded and maybe even forced your way sometimes? Any of you done that? I know I've done that at times. I might have been very upset with my mom or dad about something that I really, really wanted to do. And I might have made it very difficult for them because I might have cried or I might have stomped my feet or threatened them in some way. Have any of you ever done something like that? I'm sure many of you have, whether you wanted a cookie and you said, I'm gonna starve if you don't give me a cookie, right? Or I've got to have this game, Mom, for Christmas. I don't want anything else, but you've got to get it for me, right? We've all been there in that circumstance. And that's kind of like the story for today, because Yertle the Turtle wanted something, and he didn't care who he had to step on, literally, in order to get what he wanted. So I want to ask you all to think about maybe what it was like for your parent or your brother and sister or grandma or grandpa, whoever it was that you were so demanding of that thing. How do you think they felt when you were being so demanding? That's something that we don't often do, is it? We don't often think about how the other person feels. But this story calls us to understand that we aren't the only ones, that others are affected by the decisions that we make and by the things that we do. And I want to share with you that that goes for good things and bad things. When we do good things, we're affecting all of those around us in a positive way. But sometimes when we get a little bit too aggressive, we affect people in a bad way. And so I want to ask you today to think about having some compassion for those around you with all those decisions that you are making. Let's go to God in prayer. Almighty and loving God, we thank you for giving us Jesus, who came and taught us that it's not just about what we want and what we think, but we have to be open to others and what their needs are and what they're already trying to do to help us to live a good life. Oh God, we pray for all of our young friends and families and even our young at heart friends who have things that they want. We pray, oh Lord, that you would be gracious and give us what we need, maybe not always what we want, but what we need, so that we can help each other and so that we can also grow. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Heather. We have two scripture passages this morning. I want to read the gospel lesson first. It's from the Gospel of Luke, the 14th chapter, beginning at the 7th verse. When Jesus noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told his disciples a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host, and the host who invited both of you may come to say to you, "Give this person your place," and then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He also said to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Here ends our gospel lesson. Thanks be to God. And now reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians, the second chapter, beginning at the 5th verse. Paul writes, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Being born in human likeness and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Here ends our second lesson. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord God, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Scripture, and in particular these verses that we are considering this morning. May your Spirit work within us and among us to help us all understand and live these words. Amen. On a cold winter day, many of us like to curl up with a good book. And so when I thought about what I would preach this winter, that thought came to mind. I should preach about a good book or two. Only I decided, instead of preaching about some stuffy theological tome, I would curl up with the books of my favorite children's author, Dr. Seuss. Of course, I'm going to guess that all of you know about Dr. Seuss, whose real name was Theodore S. Geisel. This author, who is an icon in our culture, published his first children's book in 1936. That book, and to think I saw it on Mulberry Street, was rejected by more than 24 publishers before Vanguard Press decided to take a chance on it. And that book was a great success. So much of a success that Dr. Seuss went on to publish 44 different children's stories. And so it would seem that we have someone who has touched the hearts of many. He also touched the hearts of many of us in the lessons that he taught. Although he would claim he was never intentional about his lessons. Geisel once said that he made a point of not beginning the writing of his stories with a moral in mind, for he said that kids can see a moral coming a mile off. However, he was not against writing stories that had a moral point, for he also said there's an inherent moral in any story. In the story that Heather introduced for us this morning, Yertle the Turtle, my guess is that we can all see the moral a mile off. And yet, we are drawn to it just the same. The story of Yertle the Turtle revolves around a turtle named Yertle, the king of the pond. And as he puts it, he is the king of all he can see. And he decides that all he can see is not enough, that he would like a bigger kingdom, and that he would get a bigger kingdom if he could see further. Dissatisfied with the stone that serves as his throne because it is not high enough, he decides what he needs to do is to get a higher throne. And to get that higher throne, he gets the turtles in the pond, his subjects, to stand on each other's backs so he can climb to the top and he can see further. And so he gets 9 turtles from the pond to climb up on his rock, one on top of the other, and he climbs to the top of this tower of turtles and he can see further than he's ever seen before. And now he is king of the surrounding area, the cow in the field and the fox running across the lawn. But the turtles that are holding him up don't have the best of jobs, and a turtle at the bottom named Mac is feeling the weight of all those turtles above him, and he complains and he asks Yertle for a respite from being on the bottom of this great big stack of turtles. But Yertle tells him just to be quiet. And in fact, Yertle decides that if he had 200 turtles, he could be even higher and have an even bigger kingdom. And so the turtles are told to climb. All the turtles from the pond are told to climb, one on top of the other. And Yertle ends up at the very top. And now he can see much, much further. And he is king of everything he sees and declares he's the king of the trees and the king of the birds and the king of the bees. But of course, down at the bottom of this stack, things have gotten even worse. And Mac, who is at the very base of this tower of turtles, complains even further that his back is killing him and he's starving because he hasn't had any food. And Yertle tells him to be quiet. Yertle is at the top of the world until he sees that the moon rise, and the moon is even higher than he is, and he declares that he needs even more turtles to get even higher than the moon. But before he could rally more turtles to climb this tower of turtles and add to his throne, Mac decides he has had enough, and he burps. And the burp topples the whole tower of turtles, and Yertle at the very top falls right into the pond and lands right in the mud, leaving Yertle the turtle king of the mud. The germ of the idea of Yertle occurred during World War II, although the book itself would not be published until 1958. Seuss himself said that he had the German dictator Adolf Hitler in mind when he wrote Yertle. And it is clear that the inherent moral of the story is a lesson in leadership. The king wants a bigger kingdom, and he gets that bigger kingdom literally on the backs of the other turtles. The turtles are quite willing to do their part until they are being broken by the weight of the job they are asked to do. But the king, wanting only more power, a bigger kingdom, demands more and more from his turtle subjects until everything finally comes crashing down. Yertl is demonstrative of how the world works. People seek power, whether it's political power or business power or military power or just the power of social standing. And in seeking that power, they learn that whatever power they had is never enough. You can never have enough power. This thought is not new. Deep down, there is something inside all of us that wants to be on top, which by itself isn't so bad. It's how we get there that matters. When we are willing to use and abuse people in order to get ourselves ahead, well, then we have a problem. This, of course, was true in the time of Jesus as well. One of the ways that this desire to be on top manifested itself in Jesus' time was at community meals. Meals at the time of Jesus were all about honor and hierarchy and where you sat. Who was invited and who wasn't were important issues to the people of Jesus' day. And then, once you were invited to a special meal, where you were seated was also important. This was a typical social situation in Jesus' day, and it was all about who was important and who wasn't. Jesus noticed this tendency in people and gave the people a sort of a parable when he said, "When you are invited to a banquet, do not sit down in the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And your host, who invited both of you, may come to you and say, 'Give this person your place.' And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit at the lowest place so that when the host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher,' and you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you." And one can see this working through the minds of the people who were listening, that, hey, that's not a bad strategy at a party, is it? Maybe start out low and then you get promoted right in the middle of the party. But Jesus goes on to say and give the punchline to the sortie, "For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted." And we are left scratching our heads, if only this were true. Whether it was in Jesus' day or our current age, the desire to be on top, to be recognized, to have a position of honor and power is almost irresistible. So big was the problem in Jesus' day that time and time again, Jesus had to give this lesson. Think of the number of times that Jesus demonstrates and talks about this issue. When James and John, two of the disciples, argue about which of them should be seated at Jesus' right hand, Jesus asks them, are they ready to accept what comes with that honor? And when the other disciples hear what James and John want, they get angry. And then Jesus says to them all, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first amongst you must be the slave of all." Or how about when the disciples try to keep a group of children from getting too close to Jesus, and Jesus tells the disciples to let the children come to him, and then taking one of them and putting that child on his lap, he says that whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. And we remember the Beatitudes in the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus says things like, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are the persecuted." This seems to be a central theme in Jesus' teaching, that those who seek to be on top, who take advantage of others in order to get on top, these are the folks that will be brought down. These are the folks that will be humbled. These are the folks that will end up in the mud. And Jesus preached the corollary as well. Those who humble themselves, those who let others go first, those who are last in the human world will be the first in the kingdom of God. Jesus was and still is upending the apple cart of social standing. He is toppling over the tower of turtles because the kingdom that counts is the kingdom of God, and it is not arranged like humans want to arrange their world. Jesus himself modeled this new social standing that he was advocating. On the evening of his last meal, Jesus sat not at the head of the table, but sat by the door and waited for his disciples to enter the room. And when they did, he kneeled before them and washed their dirty feet. And he told them this is how it would be with them. Their honor would come from sacrificial service. Of course, Jesus lived out that model of sacrificial service a few hours later in its most extreme form when he was crucified on the cross. Paul the Apostle put it this way in his letter to the Philippians, Christ Jesus, though in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. I think Geisel recognized that that's a tendency in humanity to want to be on top, to get your way, to have that power in one way or another, and while Hitler might have been the germ of this, he saw it as being true for children and adults. I doubt that Geisel thought about all these biblical passages when he penned Yertle the Turtle, but I do think he understood the reality of human nature. And he knew this in his mind, that it was a message that had to be told and retold in every age. For there is a yertle in all of us. And I think all of us need to be reminded where yertle ends up. Amen.
Thank you.
come together in prayer, and in so doing, we lift up those within our church community in particular need of prayer. That would include Elaine Russell, who is recovering from her bout with COVID, and so we are thankful for that and wish for her continued recovery. Marjorie Beveridge is home from the hospital, as is Sue Lample's daughter, Jeannie, and we pray for their continued recoveries at home. Gary Harvey is having a procedure tomorrow, so we want to hold him in our prayers, but he is done with the cancer treatments, so we rejoice with that and wish him well for tomorrow. We want to include the friends and family of Betty Gillum, who died a while back, and we still grieve that loss. We also, Heather's cousin, Heather Hicks, has asked for prayers of joy for her cousin, her cousin's wife, who had a baby girl this week, Zoe Ray, and everyone is doing fine, so we rejoice with them as well. Let us join together in prayer, and we will begin with a time of silent prayer for you to lift up your own prayer concerns, and I will lead in our common prayers. Let us pray. O Lord, hear our prayers. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this day, for our lives, and for one another. We give you thanks for this very moment carved out from our daily existence for us to worship you. Thankful that we do not have to leave our homes to brave the cold and the snow, to be together in worship. We give you thanks for this winter season that unfolds outside, for its part in the ever-unfolding story of your creation, and the invitation it offers for us to rest and to quiet ourselves and to patiently prepare for the new thing that is coming into being. Indeed, in this season where cold gray days make us restless for sunlight and summer, we ask that you would help us to pause. Help us to root ourselves in this moment and all that uniquely defines it. Fill us with patience and your presence to fully embrace the life that meets us right here. Help us to remember that every moment, even the ones we are hasty to overcome, is indeed a gift and an opportunity. Beckon us in this winter season to be still and know that you are God. Lord God, we lift up all those in our community who are struggling. We pray especially for those who are suffering a loss, those who are lonely, those who are depressed or anxious, those who face uncertainty. We pray too for those struggling with health issues, with those wrestling with financial problems, with those facing strife with friends and family. And for those, O Lord, who are unsure and worried about the future. We know and trust, O God, that you are always with us, in cold and in warmth, in darkness and in light, in every season, in every moment of our lives, you hold us all in your loving embrace and never let us go. Trusting indeed that you are always there, we pray to you now as your Son taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, may the blessings of God be yours on this day and every day. Amen and amen.